Hello, my name is Susie DeJong, speaker, coach, and author of The Untangling. And this is the Untangling series podcast, where we untangle our own unseen and unspoken chains that bind us to open up the way for us to experience more joy and peace and healing than we ever thought possible. So come and join me. Put on your comfiest clothes, grab a cup of something hot, or maybe even a glass of something bubbly. Put your feet up and let the untangling begin. Welcome to the next episode in the series of the Untangling podcast. Today I had the absolute pleasure of speaking to someone who I already know is going to get a lot of people thinking in regard to how they communicate. My guest today, Aaron Kemp, is very passionate about how the art of communication can have a huge impact on not only our own lives, but the lives of people around us, be that our partners, co-workers or employees, friends, and most importantly, our children. Aaron has worked in a variety of fields during his career, including hospitality and the trades, and has a passion for and spent many years coaching soccer in his spare time. He is now a business and life coach with a real passion for supporting others not only in their businesses, but looking at how we communicate impacts on not only our own lives and happiness, but those of the people around us. Aaron also kindly allowed me to interview him for my book, The Untangling. Aaron went through his own process of untangling, in particular regarding the relationship he had with his own dad and the huge impact it had on his life. Aaron has been able to unpack a lot of emotional baggage he had been lugging around with him for nearly 50 years and shares with us how he finally came to peace regarding this relationship. It is a discussion that I know will inspire you to also look deeply within at your own relationships, where they can be improved, or maybe where you need to take some ownership. Because it is when we do this that it frees us up to have what, in the end, we all want and deserve, a happy life and strong connections in our relationships. I particularly encourage you to listen to this if you have children or are involved with young people in any way, whether that is as a teacher or maybe even a sports coach. Aaron gives some great advice around the key to really finding out what is being said behind the words. This is Aaron's story. Hello everyone and welcome to the next episode of the Untangling podcast series. It's so wonderful to have you back with me. And today I'm really thrilled to have with me as my guest a wonderful man that I met probably a couple of years ago now, Aaron Kemp. And not only does Aaron have some wonderful information to share with us about the topic today of communicating effectively, but he was also gracious enough to let me interview him for my book, The Untangling. And I'm just so delighted to have you with me here today. So thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Suze. I'm honoured to be here, actually, after listening to all those episodes you've created so far. They're great. They're exciting.
Thank you. So I just want to tell you all a little bit about Aaron, and I'm going to put my glasses on because I can't see anything without them. So a little bit about Aaron's background. Aaron is a business coach. He is the founder of the Skills for Life Academy. And recently he has launched another really exciting program, which is what I really want to discuss with him today and share with you. And that's called Empowering You to Communicate Effectively. And on top of that, Aaron is a father of three beautiful children and a partner to his lovely wife, and also a soccer coach. Are you still a soccer coach or was that
Yes,
something?
I'm coaching all age men's at Kirkhill at the minute. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
It was the first year my two boys were going to play together. Luke is 17 and Theo's 21, and they were supposed to play together, but in the first friendly, Theo damaged his meniscus and his ACL, so he's out for the season.
Oh, that's no good. Ow.
Oh. Mm. So it didn't work out, but anyway, hey.
That's life, isn't it?
Yep, embracing the plans we never made, Suze.
When I met you, and you graciously, as I said, allowed me to interview you, obviously my book is on parental relationships. And a large part of that you shared with me, your story, was exactly about that relationship with your father. And a big part of that was the ability or the, I can't think of the right word, the struggles that you had, I guess, over the period of being together that you had with communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you could just tell the viewers a little bit more about that and what you shared with me when I interviewed you.
Mm-hmm. So my dad was a very strict disciplinarian. So it was kind of his way or the highway. There wasn't a lot of room for creativity, put it that way. And so I guess I came from a place of not knowing how to communicate to how I was feeling. And I never really told him how I was feeling. So I just went off and did things that I guess was hoping he would be proud of me for. And I think I've held on to a lot of that for most of my life, where I'm blaming him for a lot of stuff, where it's not really his fault, to be honest. But I guess I found it, I guess I didn't want to buck the system because, you know, you respect your elders and those, all those things that we were taught as kids, but it wasn't who I was. So I wasn't being my true self. And then I would go out and do stupid things, like, you know, just to buck the system or to not follow his path, I guess, down the road. So there was times where we never spoke to each other for years because of who I was doing. I think on my 18th birthday, I actually messaged him and said, oh, by the way, Dad, I've moved out. We didn't speak again for another 2 years. And I really miss, you know, looking back on my life, I really miss that aspect, which has led me down the path of creating what the product I'm creating now, or the course that I'm creating now, is to help you to communicate. And so, yeah, I never told him how I felt, and I was always searching for him to say, I'm proud of you. And I never got it. And, you know, unfortunately he passed away, and it never came. So I was sort of hoping for something that could never happen until recently, but we can go on that later. But I was, when I look back at my life now, I look at all of the things I did to try and make him proud. And, you know, they've cost me heaps of money. They've cost me, you know, scars. They've cost me trips to hospital just to do silly things that I was hoping would make him proud of me, when he was proud of me all the time, but he just couldn't communicate that to me. So,
yeah. And it's, yeah, like you say, you know, you were doing silly things, getting into fights or, you know, whatever it was. And it's really a cry for help in a way, or it's a cry for, can't you see me? You know, why can't you see me? Why can't you love me as I am?
Mm-hmm.
But did he ever say to you those words? Like, did he ever say to you, I love you, I'm proud of you?
He was always very good at telling me or us he loved us as kids. You know, that was always something that was always said. But never, ever told me he was proud of me. And so there was, you know, particular times in my life where, you know, I thought I'd done really well at sport, for example, and he used to tell me all the things I didn't do well. Never kind of, hey, you did that really well today, or you had a great game. It was more like, oh, well, you missed this and you missed that opportunity and should have got that, because he was a sports coach. So, you know, there were always high expectations, I felt. You know, these are things obviously I made up in my head, but they were also real at the time.
Well, they are real for you.
Mm.
Remember, it's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, especially when you're children or young adults, that's your perception of it, and your perception is your reality.
Correct.
And that's what you live.
Yeah. And you know, looking back, I heard what I wanted to hear. not necessarily the things that were said.
So that's taking responsibility. Now, you know, hindsight's great, isn't it? We can back and see that. But as I said, it's perception is your reality, and that was your reality. And I guess it's not about making yourself wrong either, because you've been willing to step up and look at this stuff and get out of the, you know, the blaming, and you've been willing to understand where a lot of people won't do that. So I really applaud you for that. And as I said when I interviewed you, I haven't met many men in my life that are willing to go to the places that you have in regards to really looking at this inner stuff and expressing emotions and things, because as we know, and hopefully this is changing, but what do you see in regards to especially young men, probably, you know, girls as well, but with that stigma around sharing emotions and really, you know, laying bare what they're going through?
Well, as most of society would know, that men just don't share. We just don't talk about how we're feeling. We keep it inside. Because of, I guess, societal expectations, or how we were taught, I'm not sure how it was passed down through the ages, that we shouldn't show vulnerability, we shouldn't show emotion. You know, it's a weakness if we cry or we share. But I've actually realized that doing the opposite is so beneficial in terms of being vulnerable and allowing the emotions to come to the surface, and being emotional and vulnerable is actually my authentic self. It's not this kind of robot, this person with a mask on that says I'm okay. It's actually, no, this is who I truly am. And if people don't like that part of me, well, that's their problem, not mine. And being able to share that with other people in a room full of people and be bawling my eyes out at the time of talking, you know, is very empowering. And it's actually, it's the thing that's probably saved my life, because I do it now on quite a regular basis. It's not something that it's just when I, you know, kind of like, you know, in a program, it's kind of like just whenever I feel it, it just comes up. And, you know, I could be walking and I'll just burst into tears, or, you know, I'll have a chat to my dad or something like that. Or, you know, I'll talk to my friends about how I'm feeling. But it's the truth, if you know what I mean. It's not something that I'm trying to mask anymore.
And doing that too gives others permission to go there, especially your sons. And you know, your soccer teammates or friends around you. Do you think, have you seen by you doing that, that that's actually allowed others, or, you know, they've noticed and been able to change a little with you?
Definitely for my kids. You know, like, I have such a great relationship with my kids. They tell me absolutely everything. Sometimes I don't want to know what they're telling me, but, you know, there's no judgment from my perspective now. I don't judge. We just talk through what's going on for them, but I'm not using my beliefs or my values in that conversation. So it's allowing them to share without judgment. And that's the key. As a parent, if you can, sorry, I just got a notification come up. If you can communicate with your kids, I know it's hard, because we want to tell them what to do. We want to, you know, steer them in the right path and down the right in the right direction, but it's actually not what they need. They need to be able to come to somebody who can help them through whatever it is that they're going through without judgment. And I cannot believe the amount of young kids these days going to see a psychologist to unpack their challenges. I mean, I heard the other day somebody told me that their 8-year-old is going to see a psychologist. And, you know, that scares me, that we're going to become a society where they, you know, kids are going to grow up going to psychologists or, you know, being medicated, as opposed to being able to talk to their parents, which is in a safe environment where they feel they can be open and honest.
And I guess a lot of it is too, because, you know, well, compared to when I grew up, is that, you know, there's so many broken families, but separated families and, you know, blended families and all of these things that, you know, have a huge impact on kids. A lot of children growing up without father figures in their lives, or, you know, being moved from pillar to post because of things that are totally out of their control. And I guess it's really about looking at all those things and how they impact our kids. And I guess you would see that too, especially when you were coaching soccer.
I see it in a lot of different areas of the impact we as parents have on our kids. One of the big ones for me was that kind of, I like kids coaching soccer, and, you know, they'd come, especially at rep level, they'd come and play, and I just knew from the parents that they were about to get in what I called the metal prison. And that's the car ride home where they can't escape. And, you know, when we play reps, it's all over New South Wales. So, you know, there could be a very long car ride. And if the child hadn't played a really good game, it was kind of like they were trapped while the parents were just berating them about how they played. And you could just see that these kids just were so scared of not performing that they actually couldn't perform well anyway. As opposed to, I learned very early on with my kids, it's like, you know, they'll get in the car and they'll say, how did I play, Dad? And I'd go, how do you think you played? Because they'll have all of the answers that you've got going on in your head. They know exactly what they've done, whether it be right or wrong, and how well they've done. And it's like, from that, okay, great. So what can you implement this week into your training that's going to help you get over those challenges that you've got, if you want to?
That is so clever. It's simple.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing. And isn't it horrible you see some of those things on TV where the parents get in fights with other parents and you can hear them screaming and you think, oh, my God, people. It's about the kids.
Correct. Kids play sport for enjoyment, not because they want to be berated by their parents or their coaches. Yeah. And I'm sorry, you know, if you're a coach out there and you're listening to this, stop yelling at your kids. Ask them questions. They'll know. They've got all your answers.
Absolutely. That's so cool. I want to go back now to where you were yourself personally when I met you and some of the realizations that you'd had about how the relationship with your father had impacted different patterns and beliefs in you at that time. If you'd love to share that with me.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you first met me, Suze, I wasn't in a good place. I was unpacking a lot of stuff. I guess I was pretty new into my self-development journey. And I was discovering a whole lot of stuff about myself. I had no idea why I had done those sorts of things. I just thought they were just me. But, you know, obviously there were things that I was holding on to in terms of my childhood wounding. And there was one particular conversation I had with my dad, and I was so excited. I mean, there's lots of things that led up to this, obviously, but I was so excited I decided what I wanted to do when I grew up, you know, and what I was going to do when I left school. And I was 16 at the time, and I came home. I was so excited. I couldn't wait till he got home. And I told him I was going to be a chef. And, you know, the conversation after that was just like, you're not gay, are you? That's not a great way to make a living. And just squashed me just like that. And I held on to that for a long time. It was working with someone who we both know, Giselle, which unpacked my fear of being feminine, the feminine energy, because of that conversation. And all through my life, I'd sort of, that had played out in my life. And there's a lot of things that I've unpacked recently also that go back to that time and who I have become. And it's amazing how one thing, one conversation can it's not even conscious. I just never, you know, it wasn't until I unpacked it with Giselle that it was there, but it's subconsciously affected my life. Oh yeah. Obviously, because now I've allowed it to, right. I'm taking ownership for it now, but back in the day, I had no idea it was happening or playing out in the background. And that's why, as parents, it's really important that we understand that, you know, there could be just one conversation we say that just affects who we be for the rest of our life if we don't do something about it. And same was when I was working with a client the other day. He said, you know, his dad just used to berate him all the time about his sport. Like, he got man of the match. He scored 3 tries. You know, he made amazing tackles in the game of rugby. And all his dad said was, well, what about the tackle you missed? And so now he's striving to be a perfectionist all of his life. And he didn't, you know, because of that, to try and make his dad proud of him, or to make his dad realize that he's bloody good at what he does. But it's only recently he's unpacked that. And so if I go back to how I was when I first met you, I was still holding on to a lot of that stuff, Suze, and it was really affecting who I was being.
I remember specifically you saying that you were always looking for outside acceptance or approval. Tell me a little bit about that and how that affected you in your life and your business.
So I used to put people on what I classed as pedestals, people that I thought were more powerful than me, more successful than me, in a higher standing. In my own mind, that's where I put them. So I would never be able to have an open and honest conversation with them. I could never tell them how I felt if I was to go against the grain, or I was going to say something that I thought that they didn't like. I would spend weeks in what I would term as anxiety leading up to the conversation. And, I was stressed before having the conversation. I was shaking. I was so nervous before I had the conversation, but that I probably couldn't get my point across. So, they're just sitting there going, well, what do you want? I'm going, well, I don't know. I want this. Why? And I'd be like, because. And I couldn't open up anymore. And so I had all of these, and I had a fear around talking to these people if I was to say something that I felt, or if it was around something that I wanted but wasn't what necessarily they wanted. And so some of them came from, my father. I felt stupid. They make me feel stupid because I didn't have the answers. But they weren't making me feel stupid. It was just they were looking for the answers. But I just took it as they were trying to make me look stupid, and that's how I felt. And I never saw those sorts of people as equal. But now I could go and have a conversation with absolutely anybody, and I have no attachment to the outcome. It's however you take it is up to you, but I'm going to have a conversation with you about anything. And it's so empowering, and that's so rewarding that I'm able to do that now. And if it's something I don't like in terms of in my business life or my personal life, I'm okay to have the conversation with anybody. And there is no one in a pedestal. We're all equal. We're all people. We all have feelings. We all do the same things. But most often we are not communicating from a place of authenticity where we've got a mask on because we're scared about how you take my conversation or my communication. But I know that it's got nothing to do with me. It's what's going on for you, that how you take the communication.
And it all comes back to how you feel about yourself, which is, it's so empowering when you can do that. I was the same, I was always, what will people think? Because that's how I was brought up. And mm-hmm. It really goes back to you don't trust yourself. You don't believe in yourself. Your self-confidence and your self-esteem is low, mm-hmm. Because it relies on what other people think of you. So when you can work through all that shit, it's not pretty sometimes. Yeah. No. There's a lot of unpacking's been going on, this, hasn't there?
Yes.
It just frees up everything. It changes everything.
It's incredibly freeing. I'm not in my head at all these days. I'm not making up things in my head, making up stories or movies in my head about what the hell's going to happen. I don't get nervous about anything. I don't get anxious because I don't put that stuff into the future. I can just live in what's going to turn up right now. And go with that, and know that I've got all of the ability under the sun. I've got all of the knowledge in my head to be able to answer anything that anyone throws at me or have a conversation with anybody at any level. And if I haven't, I know how to ask really good questions.
We've come a long way, haven't we?
Oh, yes. Huge. I mean, to the point. I mean, honestly, Suze, at one point I was going to take my own life because I just didn't feel that I was valuable enough, right? And, I was worth more when I was dead. Put it that way. That's what I had going on in my head. That's the story.
Well, I'm glad you moved on from that. And now, to speak that out is really brave. And I thank you for sharing that with us.
But well, I'm hoping that resonates with a lot of people out there.
So yeah.
Not worth it. There is another road.
Yeah. But it goes to show how much pain we can be in if we don't share it, if we don't seek outside help, even, you know, if it's just a friend to listen to us, or, you know, like us, we work with a coach. But why do you think, Aaron, how have we come to where we are in regards to communication? How come in this, you know, year 2023, we're still, you know, talking about these things with kids and with boys in particular? And I have a real, like, it's a really important thing to me that that women do seek help a lot more than guys do. And, you know, they'll talk to their friends at least.
Mm-hmm.
But why in this year that we're in this century, do you think we haven't moved on from this? Is it still being handed down, do you think? It's a generational thing?
I think it definitely so. We were never taught how to communicate as kids, right? And it's one thing that's never, it's not being taught in any school, how to communicate with somebody who is older than you. Or, you know, I guess when I was a kid, I had to fit in with my parents. So I learned to talk and manipulate, or not talk, manipulate, sorry, but talk to lots of older people. But I would never express emotion or feelings in that. So, and I hardly ever saw my dad cry, except for one day I played him a song that reminded him of something. So, you know, that whole vulnerability piece. And even at school, we're sort of taught that, you know, even still these days, I'm not sure if there's a space where boys can go, and girls for that matter, because I think there's still a need there, to go and just vent or release or be emotional, or, you know, in a safe environment. And even now, more so, men are struggling to put up their hands for help. But I know there's lots of men out there that are struggling, whether it be in business or life, that they just try and wing it or do it on their own. I don't know what it is, but something needs to happen where I saw this great post the other day, actually, on Facebook, and it was a red chair in a playground. And the mum said, oh, do you only have one seat in your playground? And the kid said, no, that's the unhappy seat. I was like, okay, what? Okay. And he said, so what you do is, if you're unhappy or you've got no one to play with or no one to talk to, you go and sit on the seat, and somebody will come and sit next to you and take you away and play with you or talk to you.
That's amazing.
And I went, wow. And within that, and the mum said to the boy, have you ever used it? And he said, yes, I used it when I first got here to the school, because I didn't know anyone. I had no one to play with. And I sat on the seat, and within a minute, somebody came and took me away and we played.
Why doesn't every school have that?
Correct. Well, what are we doing to help these kids to open up? That's my question, right? Part of it, they open up a lot when they're playing sports. You know, when they're in moving and things like that, you can have some great conversations with kids when they're doing something, whether they're walking or surfing, because it sort of, you're taking out the conscious brain and you're tapping into the subconscious. That's why breath work and meditation is so good, right? Because you take out that conscious brain when they're sort of focusing on their sport sort of stuff, or they're moving, their body's keeping them moving, their brain's keeping their body moving, sorry. And then you can tap into the conversation at the back of their head, the one that they're not having. And that's the stuff that's going on for them. And I truly believe that it's because we're too busy talking at them. We're not actually listening to them. We just go in, you know, with that whole kind of, it's my way or the highway, this is how it should be. Well, we don't even know what's going on for them.
Yeah. And I know a lot of it too is, you know, I look at when my daughter was little and we were so busy, you know, like I was on my own then, so I'd get up in the morning, I'd drop her at four school care, then she'd go to school care, then she'd go to after school care, then I'd pick her up 6 o'clock at night, put her in the bath, feed her, put her to bed, and then we'd do the whole thing all over again. And then there was holiday care. You know, like, now we have parents, especially with finances getting more difficult and more challenges, people having to work longer hours. You know, it used to be when we grew up, like, my mum didn't work. Mum was always there. But now, you know, there's that whole dynamic has changed where, you know, we don't have time. No. We don't make time, maybe. That's not the right thing. There's always time. but we're not using our time efficiently or beneficially. To even not just talking about kids, it's you know, our partners come home from work. What do you say? Oh, how is your day? Oh, good. And then you go off and do your own thing, or, you know, you sit in front of the television and you're tired, don't feel like talking. So I think communication is just something that it's something tangible, isn't it, that we can work on?
It is, because, you know, here's the thing. We're trying to fit them into our system or our process or our way of doing things or our time, even our timeline, right, which when they step outside that, we then, you know, get upset or we get anxious or we get worried that we're not going to then fulfill our time. So we kind of bring them along our journey as opposed to just finding out, well, what's in their journey? What's happening for them? Why is it that they can't get themselves out of bed? Why is it that they don't want to go to school? Why is it that they can't get themselves dressed? And I know there's a lot of questions in that, and people might be going, oh, that's just too hard work. But it actually becomes easier over time. It's to start. And I saw this good thing the other day where in a parenting group, I mean, and the parent was talking about how she started communicating with her daughter because her daughter just wouldn't communicate with her. But she said she spends a lot of time on her phone. So she just started texting her. They're in the same, you know, same house, but she's texting her because the daughter felt safe to talk to her through text. And then eventually, you know, they got text, and then it was phone calls, and then it was face-to-face. And she just brought her along the whole journey of how, but she took the time.
Yeah.
Right. To not come at it from her perspective, but come at it from the kids. So, you know, you're either a judger or a learner. That's what I've realized. And when we're a judger, we're judging people based on our beliefs, our values, our past history. And, or if you're a learner, you're always interested on how the other person's feeling. What's their reality? What's their movie that they're making in their head? Because that's simply it is. It's a movie that they make in their head based on how they take things in through their senses. And what I know is that you're a director of your movie, Susan. All I have to do is find out what movie you're making. Is it a horror film? Is it a love story? Is it a drama? All right. But I'm so curious as to why or what's going on for you that it just doesn't enter my mind that I would actually try and get you to come along my path and be in my movie.
That is so interesting. I just love that analogy. And, you know, we had kids for a reason.
Yeah.
We didn't have kids just to fit in with our lives. We had kids because we really wanted to have kids.
Mm.
And we wanted to, you know, impart our wisdom so that they can have amazing lives and do amazing things and be happy and joyful and have peace in their lives. We didn't do it just so they could fit into our, you know, slot them into a spot in our lives.
Mm.
I guess it's sometimes, and again, it's not about making us wrong. It's about really looking at this stuff and thinking, am I doing that? You know, is that what I want? Is that the kind of parent I want to be? And really, once again, I think you probably agree with this, it all comes back to really looking at yourself and being honest and examining it and thinking, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, is that who I want to be? Or is that just what I was taught and was ingrained in me and I've just accepted it as my own? Maybe it's not. Maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I want to be the parent that, you know, dances with my kids in the kitchen instead of yelling at them to go and do their homework. And that'd be a lot more fun than being a parent like that, I think.
Yeah, I had a really good con- and the teachers out there are going to hate me for this, but anyway, I'll say it because I just...
We still love teachers, though.
But... When we look at the business journey we're on, right, is we're so tuned that we've got to work hard and work long hours and work after hours and do all of this stuff, right? But it comes from school, in my eyes. Why have homework? If you can't get all your work done during the day, yes, I get you've got to do study and stuff like that, but if you can't get all your work done during the day, what's going on? And, you know, to do work at home sets us up for when we become adults and have a business that we're going to now work at home as well. And we're going to take our work home with us. But it's becoming easier and easier these days to take work home with us because of mobile phones and computers and emails, right? But if you go back to the days where we grew up, so you had the dial telephone, right? You couldn't take that out of the office. That just sat there. You close the door at 5 o'clock or whatever time and you go home. But now people think we've got to be available 24/7. Why didn't you answer my text at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night? Like, I needed you. Okay, I'm not a brain surgeon. Right. And that's, for me, it's just, I don't know, it's to try and get that out of people now that you don't have to do that as business owners. It's so hard for me to coach people because they're in that routine and it's a habit for them. And so, you know, breaking a habit of being them is harder than just trying to start with someone at the beginning. So if we start at the beginning, then hopefully back in this end, when they get older, they're different. They're approaching life differently.
Yeah, it's the holistic, isn't it? It's,
correct.
You know, I would talk, it's so funny to talk about telephones because that just made me think back when I was in my 20s living in Melbourne. I moved back to Melbourne for a while, worked in the city, and, you know, we had telephone boxes.
Mm.
And somehow you managed to get home without having to ring anyone. You sort of like, there was no reason to.
Mm.
And now it's just, yeah, it's just got out of control. So that's a big challenge for parents too, is social media. You know, I'm glad, so glad that sort of came in as my daughter got a bit older because she was bullied at school.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been getting bullied at home as well if that had been around.
I mean, you know, and that's why as parents, we've got to be different to our parents, because the way I look at it is they are going through so much 24/7. It's not just, you know, 9 to 3 at school. It's 24/7 these days, FOMO and, you know, people being very malicious on social media and the way people are communicating. But teaching them how to handle the communication and what they do with it is a skill in itself. And as parents, we've got to help them unpack what's going on for them, not berate them because they're doing something that doesn't fit in with our mold. Right. So I heard a story the other day where a kid, young adult, was writing himself off every weekend because he hated school. He hated going to school. So he's in drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And, you know, the parents are trying to think he's got a problem, or, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. He's an alcoholic. He's a drug addict. But what they didn't realize was what was the root cause of that was he hated going to school. There was another kid exactly the same, but he thought he had throat cancer, right? And he was living with that. So every weekend, it was the only way he could take his mind off it was to do that. But if nobody's finding this stuff out, how do we know what's going on for them or why they're behaving a certain way or why they're doing stuff? And yeah, they're not going to tell you straight up, but eventually when you have that relationship with them, they will.
And the beautiful thing of all of this for people that are listening is that, you know, when we can do that for our kids, they're not carrying that with them anymore. That's not going to get handed down when they, you know, if and when they become parents. And to me, that's should be our legacy. And it's not about blaming our parents. That's what our parents do, you know, but we could be the generation that it stops with us. And to me, that's really, really exciting. I was going to ask you, Aaron, to give us some practical tips on how we can improve our communication. I think you've given us a few already, but is there anything that really stands out for you? And it doesn't have to be just parents and children, but it could be, you know, with your partners or your business colleagues or friends. Is there any tips that you can give us that we can instantly put into practice?
Yeah. So I heard a great quote the other day, and I'm not sure where I heard it from, so I can't give a disclaimer, mm-hmm. but it was, as long as you hold on to your childhood wounding, the longer you'll stay stuck in your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome. So I thought, yeah, brilliant. Okay, so I need to let go of that for a start. It's time to do things differently would be the second one. Parenting as the way we were brought up is not working. So have a look at how you parent and then say, well, how can I do that differently? How can I do it better than what was done for me? Or how could I, you know, what's happening with my child and how can I help them through whatever it is that they're going through? We can't just label them, you know, if they, you know, ADHD, for example, is such a massively used term these days. But are we really finding out what's going on for them? know why? Maybe they don't like what they're doing. Maybe they don't like rote learning. Maybe they don't like something, which then makes their attention go somewhere else. You know, are they bored, for example? You know, become a detective. Detectives ask great questions. Don't judge, don't assume, but just ask really good questions and use the answers that you receive to ask another great question. Right? But you're using the person's words, because when they say it, it's true, when you say it, it's not true. So, you know, for example, I heard in that, Susie, that you don't like something. What is it that you don't like?
That's really powerful.
And people will generalize, right? And I'll give you an example. Little Johnny comes home from school and he says, "Everyone at school hates me, Dad." Okay. So everyone at school hates you, Johnny? No, just my class. Oh, so everyone in your class hates you? Well, no, it's just the girls. Oh, so all the girls in your class hate you, Johnny? No, it's actually Susie. She sits beside me in maths and she doesn't like me. Okay, what is it about Susie that says that she doesn't like you? And then he'll give you the answer. Well, she poked me with her pen. Okay. Have you told Susie that you don't like being poked by the pen? What are some possible things that you could do to find out whether Susie does actually like you? Now we're creating a plan.
Wow. That's so cool.
Could you sit somewhere else?
Yeah.
But we've gone from everyone at school hates him, which is a massive burden on this child, which he's saying, you know, basically for him, down to, no, it's actually just Susie. It's one person at school. Now we know we can easily solve the problem or the challenge with just by dealing with the one person.
That is a great way of doing that.
But in the beginning, we'd probably move little Johnny from the school because everyone hates him, right? If we just stuck at that.
Yeah, we would have reacted.
Correct. We'd storm down to the school, do whatever, right? But instead, we're just going to go, okay, well, now we just have to solve the challenge between Johnny and Susie. And what is it about those two that we can work on?
Powerful stuff.
Mm.
Powerful, not complicated, but, what I'd like to do now is for you to share a little bit more about your two different programs, because you've got Skills for Life Academy. So if you could tell me a little bit about that and who that's aimed at. And then also you've got your newest creation, which I'm very excited about, empowering you to communicate authentically.
Mm-hmm.
So could you just share a little bit about both of those, Aaron?
Okay, so the Skills for Life Academy was designed around, I'm a sports coach, and about my own life, really. It's my own journey. So what I realized is that, you know, even at the age of, you know, 45 to 50, a lot of the times we get there and we reflect, and that's why people go and do things like buy Harley Davidsons or go and trek Everest or run marathons, and we reflect on all of the things that we didn't achieve and we beat ourselves up. Well, I did especially. And so it was like, and that's when I started my self-development journey myself in terms of, how do I turn this around and play an awesome second half? So it's almost like I've come into the dressing sheds at halftime, gone, okay, what's going on out there? These are all the things that we didn't do well. These are the things we did do well. What are we going to do more of in the second half that can help us to play our best half ever, given all of the knowledge and understanding we have now and all of the learnings that we had from the first half? We can play an absolutely amazing second half if we put all those things into a plan. And so that's what the Skills for Life Academy is helping the people to play an awesome second half in life and business. And so, yeah, liken me for your sports coach for life and business, basically.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then the empowering communication, or empowering you to communicate authentically, came from exactly that journey of not, I was always wearing a mask. I was never communicating from my true self. But over this, you know, the development and all the learning I've done is like, I've realized that I'm really not responsible for the movie you make about my communication. Yes, if I come down and completely abuse you, right, that's something that's going on for me, right? But if you wanted to take that personally, you could, right? And therefore you'd go into your shell, or we'd stand up and we'd fight each other or whatever it might be, or you will fight or flight. You might run away and think, oh, he hates me, and right. But I could stand there in the face of that and let you rant and rave and get it all out, and then go, okay, Suze, have you finished now? Let's have a conversation from a point of now we're at equal. You've told me exactly how you feel, and I thank you for your feedback, but let's get on with having a conversation as to where that came from. What's going on for you that made you decide to have that with me? So now you're taking ownership for your communication, not me. Because I've learned over time, I'm actually not that powerful that I can make you think or feel anything. I'm not in charge of your emotions. You are. So something I've done could be something that someone else would get excited about or happy or find funny, but something for you, it's triggered something for you that's made you angry, and for you to choose anger as your emotion. So I just have to check in on that. And then, you know, from there's no confrontation. It's all conversation from an equal footing perspective.
So is this program, the communication program, for adults or adolescents, or is it for families? Where do you see this heading?
I see it heading to everyone eventually, from, you know, from the young ones up, right? But right now where it's aimed at is as parents with young adults or emerging adults, mm-hmm. right? And it's helping you to really find out and communicate authentically to each other as to what's going on for you and bridge that gap. So, you know, my main aim or my goal in life is to reduce the suicide rate in Australia, and if not the world. But I'll start with Australia first because I'm here. But eventually it'll be the world. And it starts with communication, and it really starts with opening up from a place of vulnerability and having conversations that maybe we don't want to hear the answers to, but if we're not judging the answer, it doesn't matter. We're not attached to it. And so it really starts with that adult to kid, and let's say young adults for now, but eventually it'll go, you know, as we expand the program, it'll go to younger kids as well. And hopefully my goal is to get it into school, Sue, so that people can learn from a very young age to communicate. You know, that is the overarching goal, that it gets into schools. It helps young adults, teenagers, kids, whatever it might be, whoever it might be, to communicate. You know, if you look at all of the stuff that's going on for them and how much is kept inside them and how much they're just digesting in this stuff, it's like, you know, how do they, you know, process it? What do they do with it? And like you said, the girls are good at talking, but the boys aren't.
Mm.
But there's some girls out there that can't or don't know how to talk either.
So important. I'd love to see that program in schools, along with meditation and breath work. And you mentioned something before about breath work, and Aaron and I, a few weeks back now, were down into Sydney at an amazing event run by our coach, Giselle Gamby, called the Sacred Leadership Group. So it's a group of about 18 or 19 of us from all around who come together to make change in the world, through business or, you know, families or whatever it is we're involved with. And we had this amazing breathwork session, which I'd only done one before, and it's very hard to put into words. And it's run by an amazing couple on the Gold Coast who are also in the group, called Troy and Beck. And whoa, we had some shit going down. I can't even put it. It's kind of like tripping without the drugs.
Correct.
But I know you had a very powerful experience, and we don't have to go into all of that. But what I'd like to ask you was, what is the conversation that you have with your darling father now?
It's one from complete understanding and complete love now. I mean, you know, Dad has passed, but I spent 2 days with him basically when we were there, and letting go of all of, you know, the stuff I was holding on to, because he told me some stuff that I didn't understand about him. He didn't know how to communicate to me either, because he said, one of the things he said to me is, I don't know how to communicate to you because you're so bloody powerful. I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And I had a conversation with my stepmom not too long ago, actually, and she said he did not know how to communicate with you, Aaron, or to you. He had no idea. And so, yeah, that's the first time I've done breath work, and it was the most amazing experience ever. And it allowed, it's where the whole program developed from, of empowering communication, because of that journey I took on those 2 days.
Mm.
But, yeah, complete, I don't know, I've got an amazing relationship with him now, and I'm just sad that it didn't happen when he was alive.
Yeah. But you're carrying it on.
But he's still around.
Yeah, he is. Well, I talk to my parents all the time.
Well.
They're not here either on the physical plane, but.
Yeah.
Look, it's just been delightful to talk to you today, and I'm, you know, this is the second time, because I wasn't happy with the first one, which I take responsibility for, but I think you and I are just in a much better place, and I so believe in what you're doing, Aaron. I so believe in that this is our legacy to hand down, to work on these relationships and make them the best that they can be, to give that gift to our kids and young people in the world, and us as well, you know, frees us up, makes our life better and our relationships better. And I urge anyone who would like to know more about Aaron's programs to reach out. I will share the links with the notes. He's a great guy. He's so easy to talk to. He really cares. And what a gift that would be for your family to work with Aaron and just improve your life, your family's life. And hey, we're here to be happy. We're here to enjoy our lives. So let's make the rest of our lives the best of our lives. So I just want to say thank you again, Aaron. It's just been wonderful to catch up with you. Thank you for being in my book, and just thank you for being the person that you are. I really, really have a lot of respect for you.
Thanks, Suze. It was an honour coming on, actually, after the list of guests that you've had on. So, yeah, I was super excited that you asked. And I just also wanted to go one step further on that in terms of we were talking about parents. But if you're a boss and you own a business and you're coaching, or not, certainly not coaching, you employ young people, maybe employ same tactics. Rather than talking at them, talk to them. Or ask questions, because I've seen a lot of business owners that do not empower their work or their employees to communicate with them, because they put you on a pedestal as you're the boss. You've got to do as they do as you tell them to. So, yeah, we're here to enjoy our lives, not go to work to be miserable, not to go home to be miserable, not to go to school to be miserable, not to play sport to be miserable. Whatever we're doing, we've got to be enjoying it. It comes from how people around us are talking to us.
Absolutely. And then, you get employees that are happy to be there and more productive and feel like they're part of the team. So that's a really, really good point. So reach out, anyone, to Aaron. He'd love to hear from you. Thank you again. And I look forward to seeing everyone on the next episode. So bye for now. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Untangling Series podcast. I feel absolutely blessed to be on this journey with you. If you would like more details on where to purchase my book, The Untangling, I've popped the link in the notes below. Perhaps you may feel called to work with me one-on-one to support you in your own untangling. I would love that. I offer my services as a coach to walk you through this process in a unique bespoke program created solely for you, because you are unique. Another one of my passions is offering my services as a keynote speaker. I do like engaging with others, as you can probably tell. If any of that is of interest to you, you can contact me directly by the links below, or head on over to my website at susiedejong.com.au, and I will get straight back to you, I promise. I love what I do, and I know what my purpose is: to pay it forward and help others untangle and find their own freedom and joy. So bye for now, and I look forward to seeing you next time.